Mark chapter 7, where we read, Mark chapter 7 and verse 20, Jesus told us, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." For, verse 21, key two words, for from within. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed. And then he gives you the list of all of the evils there. It's important. Then God says in verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus is showing us where our sin comes from. It doesn't come from the outside. We outwardly display it, but it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. The sin without comes from within. The outward action is caused by a bigger problem that's in the heart. There's two levels to a problem. You have the outward behavior, that's sin, that's what we do. And then you have at the heart level, that's where the sin is lusted for and longed for. Lasciviousness, however you want to say it. For instance, this is an air vent. That goes in. The exhaust vents are 1, 2, 3 on this side and 1, 2, 3. Air is coming out. If bad air is coming out of that vent, I can't fix it by going to the vent. It started at the furnace. The furnace is the source. That's just putting it in the outside. So there's an outward and an inward illustration for that. Somebody might say, you know, if you take any sin, take any, how about anger? If somebody says, well, you know, my anger's always been my problem. Well, some would say, no, it's not. Your anger's working just fine. Ask your family. It works every day. If you take the issue of anger, well, I'm going to fix my anger by memorizing Bible verses. Well, memorizing scripture on anger helps, but eventually you learn all of them. And please keep in mind something. You knew it was wrong to lose your anger when you memorized the first verse. That's why we keep thinking, well, there's a magic Bible verse. There is no magic Bible verse. You can memorize it, and I think that helps, but it doesn't solve it. You have to realize that what's wrong is on the inside, and that's what would allow you to struggle with a sin, pick any sin, a sin for 10, 20, 30 years. It started on the inside. The problem won't be solved with more knowledge and information. You know, well, if the pastor would just preach a message on that, sorta, but it's not that you don't already know it's wrong. You already know it's wrong. If we aren't careful, we're going to rely on inspiration and outward stimulation more than the Lord. We'll wait for the next sermon, the next conference, the next rally, etc. So if you haven't learned this yet, you will. The problem is our heart, and our heart can only be fixed by the Lord. It can only be fixed by the Lord. The Lord said he alone tried. God doesn't allow Christians to make themselves. Jesus makes Christians when they let him help them. That if we could make ourselves, and if you just needed to try harder and try harder and try harder till you do it, then you'd get the glory, right? But Jesus won't allow that. We have to learn eventually we don't have the... God is the only one who can see the problem in my heart. It's too desperate for me. It's incurably wicked. I can't even understand it because it's so big, and I have to go to the Lord and humbly say, I can't fix myself. I can't change me. You can go to the altar 100 times and fail each time because you're relying on you to do better and try harder. But I say it again, yet there's no reliance on the Lord. I had to learn this in the Christian life, and I still haven't mastered it, and I don't know it's mastered. But when you're struggling, it's, oh, Lord, help me, please, and help me, Lord. And yeah, it can be, but really, it's, okay, Lord, tomorrow I'll do better than I did today. And Lord, and Jesus said, you know, if you'll ask me to help you, it's not up to your character or your determination to do better. You see, what you do doesn't make you godly. It's what you are. Try harder is not the theology for victory. You can focus so hard on being a Christian that you forget the only one who makes good. When it's all about the doing, and I just need to do better, you eventually become like a Pharisee, where you look good on the outside, but you're not good on the inside, right? Describe that. The answer is not to stop using the altar. The answer is to get desperate for the Lord to help you. God responds by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We learned this morning, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When you don't trust the Lord, that is sin. We learned that this morning. You cry out to the Lord when you're in a desperate crisis. This is when miracles take place. Name in the Bible when a casual miracle took place. There are none. Somebody's daughter was dying. There was a storm raging. There was desperation. You could say, how come miracles only happen in desperation? Because that's the type of, normally the bottom has to fall out for us to want God, right? That's how you got saved. You don't get saved when Jesus, well, I'll trust Jesus plus baptism plus church. No, you get saved when you say, nobody else can save me but Jesus because of what he did on the cross. That is salvation. And everybody here was desperate when you got saved, if you're saved, right? You had to have his righteousness to get to heaven, and he was the only one that could give it to you. You were desperate. God responds to our cries when we're desperate. So tonight, you need to cry out to the Lord because it's your heart that's killing you. If you have a big problem in your life, please notice that's what's seen. But what's unseen, it's just like a tree, right? Tree's got roots that go deep. They always say you can tell how deep the roots are. As the tree is tall, the roots are deep. As big as the problem, there's roots in the heart on why that problem is so big. It can be, you can pick anger, you can pick fear, you can pick any sin. Behind every tragedy is a process of wicked thinking. No sin instantly takes place. It's meditated on, it's thought about over and over again till finally becomes an action. Where'd that happen? In the heart first. My wrong outward actions are because of my inner spiritual condition. Something is wrong on the inside, allowing sin to prosper in my life when I don't have victory. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23, right in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. Some have it committed to memory, and it's good. Proverbs 4:23, keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. So let me apply the verse now. Ready? If I think, what does this verse mean? What is God telling me? The problems in my heart flow from my heart that has not been kept with all diligence. An unguarded heart produces bad outward behavior. Here we go. If I help somebody or if the Lord uses me, it's because those outward actions came from a heart that was protected and guarded and watched, right? Guard your heart because your outward actions come from your heart. That's what God is saying. Every sin that we struggle with has three issues. If I could help understand this, the first, I named this part two, why I sin when I know it's wrong. Try to get somebody to help them with their lying. 15 Bible verses will help them. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But ask them, do you know lying is wrong? Well, yeah. Do you pick stealing? You can pick any sin you want to. Most, God gave us a conscience, right? Now the Bible is louder, right? But God gave us a conscience. Nobody has to be told murder is wrong, right? Everybody knows that. God gave us a conscience. That's how he created us. But the first thing I need to address is my unbelief. My unbelief is not trusting God. You say, okay, well, I knew that, but wait a second. If I got more specific, if I said my unbelief is when God or his words are not given the rightful place receiving my full trust. My unbelief is when I don't believe God's word is true in my situation. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I believe there's a God and I believe, oh yeah, the Bible's God's word, but do I apply it to me personally? That, if I don't, that would be my unbelief. You can believe it generally, but not specifically. Take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. So the people here are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The people are thirsty. They're griping at Moses. You brought us out here to kill us. We should go back to Egypt. We wish we were slaves again. And Moses and Aaron fall on their face. And God tells Moses, he says, well, look at verse 8. It says, God tells Moses, take the rod, gather you the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Well, keep in mind, if you're feeding 3 million people and their cattle, this is a big rock, and he's already hit it once, it's split, and you're talking millions of gallons coming out. This is not a stream, this is filling a whole valley. And God said, you've already hit it once. I did the miracle. Now just go and talk to the rock and it'll give water. Well, what's Moses do? Moses is angry at the people. And verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So Moses got results by losing his temper and disobeying God. I think he's angry with the people. Moses is angry, hits the rock twice. Please notice verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land." So Moses is 120 years old. Excuse me, he's 80 years old. He's going to wander now for 40. He'll die at 120, and he doesn't get to take the children of Israel into the promised land after leading them out of slavery. Why? Because he hit the rock. He did lose his temper. He did disobey God, but that's not what God said. He said, "You didn't." We know Moses had an anger problem. He lost his temper a couple of times. But when your anger got so hot, you couldn't trust me to help, you chose to deal with it your way. You chose to explode. You didn't represent me to the people right. It is your unbelief. Your unbelief. What an illustration. The source of Moses' temper was his unbelief. He didn't allow God to help him, or he didn't trust God in Moses' time of need. Moses lost his temper, directly disobeyed the Lord, and listen, when I'm tempted, I will either set God aside and give him the rightful place, or I'll give him the rightful place of my full trust and dependence. One of two things happens every time I'm tempted. Same thing with you. You either trust God or you go, "God, you go over there, I'm handling this my way," right? And you choose not to believe the Lord. I think that happens more times than not. In my Christian life, I have to believe God's bigger than my problem. Remember, unbelief is when I believe my problem is bigger than God. So there's no prayer. That's just me. I got to solve it my way. When I believe God generally, but not in my specific situation, that's unbelief. When I don't believe God's way is better than my way at the moment, that's unbelief, because I'd rather solve it my way. If I learned to trust the Lord, listen, every time I was tempted with anger, I'd never lose my temper. In those moments, God could deliver me from anger and hurting my mouth with my action. God could if I allowed the Lord. But sometimes I don't want it because I've justified it and they deserve it, right? So I don't pray to the Lord. I'd rather give them a piece of my mind and put them in their place. I got a better idea. You know when my life goes better is not when I put people in their place, when I put God in his place. And let God have his place and let God help me. But we'll justify it and we don't want God's help. I don't want to trust God enough to let him help me solve the problem his way. Okay? Did you know if you would bring God into the situation, he'd help you? But my flesh doesn't want to trust the Lord and give him his rightful place. Did you know Christ-likeness, being a Christian, is not based on what you think of me. How you measure your Christianity is how much you run to and ask him, "Dear God, help me." It's not my suit. It's nothing outward. Now, my inward will eventually affect my outward, right? The good and bad. But Christianity is not based on outward and my image. It's based on how much do I go to Jesus? How much does he influence? That's Christian. Him controlling me, me not running the show. I'm not going to just try to do better next time, but this time, Jesus, I'm going to trust you to help me. That unbelief is, I'm going to solve this my way. That's what cost Moses the promised land. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 14. This is such a helpful truth to every Christian when we're in temptation. And I believe temptation, we all face it every day, different areas of our life, but temptation never stops. But how can I get victory if I'll trust the Lord, give him his place, depend on him to help me? That's what he wants. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Watch this. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He didn't say, you little sinker. He didn't say, O thou of little courage. He said, you couldn't trust me in your time of need. Your fear, you saw the ocean, you saw the wind. Can you imagine what it looked like to see Jesus there walking on water and before you criticize him too much, he's the only guy other than Jesus that walked on water. And he did it for a little bit, I don't know how long, but can you imagine what that would have looked like? But what a story. Every time I get my eyes off the Lord, my fear controls my eyes. Jesus is bigger than my problems if I'll just keep my eyes on. And he says, your problem, Peter, you sank because you didn't trust. You didn't keep your eyes on me. Your unbelief, you're not putting me in my rightful place is what caused you. And what we could say, fail. You look to yourself instead of the Lord, and you sink every time. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. If I could learn to trust the Lord and believe and give him his rightful place, I would have more victory. And the only reason I struggle is because I don't want God's help. I'd rather do it my way. Or I'm gonna give somebody what they deserve. Or it's all justified. But whenever I don't give the Lord his rightful, look at Hebrews chapter 3. Ready? Watch this. Verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, verse number 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So after all the Lord showed them, ten plagues, parting the Red Sea, water out of the rock, when they get to the promised land, they did what? They saw the giants were like grasshoppers in their sight. And they couldn't trust God. Their fear controlled their actions. And God said, you couldn't, out of all that I've done for you, trust me. Okay? Look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It's sin to not trust the Lord, right? We learned that this morning. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. I'm going to do this. I can handle it. I can push my way through it. I can. When God is trying to say, I can. But it's an. And isn't it interesting? He says, watch each other, because all of us are tempted to not trust God. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Because what causes people to quit church? The problem gets bigger than God, right? Well, I just need to. And in their mind, there's no trusting God. God is not in the picture. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of not trusting God or giving God his rightful place. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So playing with sin in your life hardens your heart so you don't trust the Lord. How about this? Go down to verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And then look at verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Them that believe not. There it is again. My unbelief in my heart causes all of my outward sin. It manifests itself. And if I want victory over things I know are wrong, why do I do them, even though I know they're wrong? Whatever it is, it's because when I come to that avenue, that point, I decide I'm not going to trust the Lord. I'm going to solve it my way. And I do what? I then evil heart of. Because, right? I'm going to set God, you get over here and you stay there. I'm going to deal with it. It's pretty evil, right? Here, an unbelieving heart. Notice how the whole. Watch verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, who are the only two people out of the whole crowd that enter into the promised land? Caleb and Joshua. Because they wholly followed the Lord. When they saw the giants, they were like, well, God's brought us this far. God will help us with that too. Right? They wholly followed the Lord. God said, all the rest of you, you're going to die in the wilderness and your kids will. You couldn't trust and you came to a problem. Interesting. Illustration in the Old Testament. That's chapter 3. Look over at chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. To help us, God tells us to trust His Word and to pray and ask for help. You know what the rest of the chapter is? Verse 12 is the famous verse on the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then verse 16 ends with, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. What's God saying? Here's how you fix your unbelief. Get in the Bible and pray to me and ask me for my help, right? Verse 12 and verse 16. What a wonderful way to close the chapter. How do you fix an unbelieving heart? There has to come a time. That's why would you preach such a negative sermon on what is sin this morning, you know? Five verses. This is sin and this is sin. Because the more evil I realize I am that God sees and the less I trust myself. What a verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately or incurably wicked. Always reaching for the wrong. And God said, I'm the only. Doesn't that make you instead? That makes me say, Lord God, help me. Dear God, I don't even know how to. Look, dear God, I need you. That helps me cry out to the Lord. Watch this. Go to Psalm 17. So what is unbelief? Unbelief in the Bible, we can say, well, that's not trusting God. And get a little more specific. You mean in the time of temptation, it's not trusting God to help you in temptation. God will help you immediately if you'll ask Him. Look at Psalm 17 and look at verse number 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. God saves those by His right hand. Whenever I face a temptation, I have to, as a Christian, dear God, I don't have strength. I don't have it in me. I have a wicked heart. I have a wicked flesh. Dear God, help me, please. And God says, I've been waiting for you to ask me for help. You don't have the answer. I'm the one you need. God says, I can help you quickly. Watch this. Let me show you another encouraging verse. We'll go to Matthew, go to the New Testament now. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Neat verse to think about. What helps me with my evil, wicked heart? Yes, I'm saved. Praise God. I trusted the blood of Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. But what helps me in life face temptation? My trust. If I would just learn when that temptation happens, when I feel the anger starting to rise in my toe, and it starts, I don't have to be controlled by it. Have you ever bit anybody's head off? Yeah, I have. In regret? Yeah, I've hurt people. You ever hurt your family? Yeah, I've hurt my family and I've had to apologize. If I would have yielded to the Lord and trusted God and let Him help me, I would have hurt a lot less. That's just one issue. Anger, fear, stress, right? Being overwhelmed. How do you handle yourself? I just got so much. Do you ever ask the Lord to help you? Well, no, I'm going to work it out. Heart of my unbelief. Watch this. Matthew chapter 8. I'll just show you the verse. The centurion comes to him in verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, watch. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. You trust, God says, I'll help you. And I think it's interesting. I can help. I like this statement. As much as you trust, as much as I can help you. But my problem is, sometimes I don't want God's help. Sometimes I want to do it my way. And I get in trouble every time. I blow it every time. I don't have the answer. I need to learn to trust. Let's go to one more verse. Ready? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, this has all the elements of pride. If I don't want God, it's because I can handle it. And here we go. If I want sin instead of what's right, isn't that pride? There's no humility there. I'm going to take what I want and get what I deserve. And this is mine. And God says, when do I enter the picture? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Many Christians before you have fallen. Many. You need to be careful. If you aren't careful, you will fall. I need to be careful. Many have fallen before. Look at verse 13. Here's the hope. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what was convicting about this? Praise God. God's faithful, right? God's always faithful. I'm unfaithful. But God, every temptation I've ever faced that I failed at, it's because I want. If I would have trusted the Lord, He was giving me a way out. He opens the door and He says, you don't have to do that. You're over here. I'm right over here. To me, it's a wonderful verse. It's a great verse to live by, but it's a convicting verse too. Because every time I blow it, all the sins that we listed, okay, if you weren't here, we basically learned we're nasty, okay? There's no hope for us outside of Jesus, amen? But every time I blow it, it's because I didn't ask the Lord to. I just think that's enough. God has never lost a battle that he's been asked help fight. Never. I've lost every battle. He's faithful. God is trustworthy. We struggle because we don't want to deliver. We don't want to escape because my way gives me immediate gratification. Moses got the water out of the rock. Hit twice. His disobedience, he got. And here's what's scary. The results can sometimes cause us to be satisfied not doing it. You snap somebody's head off, or you do this in fear, or sometimes the results can cause you to keep it that way. Well, it brings instant satisfaction. God is trustworthy in my situation, every situation I face. Listen, tonight, I don't have to. Well, I believe God. Not talking about salvation. We're talking about when it comes to trial, when it comes to the temptation, what do you trust that you not want us? It's kind of a new definition. I know sin is doing what God tells me not to, but it's a whole new element where a child of God, you realize everything I'll face, God will give me, or I can continue to not want his help. It puts I hope this helps tonight. I cannot think of very many things the Christian have helped me other than it helps every day. And when I come to that point, I love remembering God's giving me stop, trust his place. And God says, I got you. Understanding and sin in our life's encouragement. Father, thank you. Please help us give you our rightful.